All right. Couple things just to make mention on Vacation Bible School. So this year is the first time we've done two streams at different times with different age groups. So parents, first of all, we're letting you know about signing up for Vacation Bible School before the public knows for 2 weeks, all right? Because sometimes the public finds out and then you don't get a spot, all right? And we do want to reach lots and lots of kids from outside of this church, but for the next 2 weeks, sign up, all right? And then the door of Noah's Ark will be closed, okay? So please, please be aware of that. But also know the ages, okay? So this one is from 6 to 9, am I right? 6 to 9, okay. So if your child, because of birthdays, if they were in the last stream, please don't sign them up for this one again. It's the same exact material, all right? And we know it's a nice, please don't use it as a babysitting service, because then you're taking a spot from somebody else, okay? Does that make sense? All right. That is all. We're good? Okay. When they leave announcements to me, anything can happen. All right. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. We're going to start a study on the book of Hebrews. And it is an amazing epistle. First of all, here's an awesome suggestion is to, during these next number of weeks, you read the book of Hebrews yourself. You can do it in 2 days. It lots of stories, lots of admonition, incredible. It's not a hard read, okay? So, but the more you're familiar with this material, I believe the more it's going to just jump off the pages into your heart and into your mind, all right? The Hebrews. So, interesting name for a book. I saw a coffee shop somewhere in the world where, at a church where they called it Hebrews. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. All right. But the book of Hebrews, some would say that it was written to believers who used to be Jewish, although it doesn't exactly say that. But what we do see is it's written to an audience that has vast knowledge, assumed knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, especially the first five books and the story of the children of Israel from Abraham to captivity in Egypt and being delivered through Moses, the wanderings of the wilderness and the covenant that was given to them and the law, and then finally into the promised land. So the author understands that you have a knowledge of that. And so it's an interesting epistle in that it's not written to a church in a city or a region where we have to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi. And the other unique thing about the book of Hebrews is we don't know who the author is. Okay, the author does not state himself like Paul would. And so we just don't know who wrote it. But the people who decided on the canon of Scripture realized this is Word of God. And this is amazing. Okay, so I don't like to speculate who who the author is, so we'll just leave it. And when we get to heaven, maybe we'll find out. All right, maybe we won't. All right, so here's what we do know about these believers who had this rich knowledge of the Old Testament is that they were facing persecution. They were suffering as a result of following Jesus. And that is something that we see all throughout the New Testament, and we have seen in church history, is that people who follow Jesus wholeheartedly and his ways, and they begin to obey him, the world that we live in, that is fallen, mostly inhabited by crazy people, are not thrilled. And there is pushback. And so there are places in our world today, the nation of Nigeria, we know of large churches and influential churches in Nigeria, but more Christians die in Nigeria for their faith than any other nation in the world. In the top half, the northern half, where there is Muslim terrorists that come and just kill Christians, all right? Coptic believers were going to church a few years ago in Egypt, just went to Easter Sunday, massacred. Why? Because they were believers. Now, in Lusaka, Zambia, we have little to worry about that there are going to be terrorists to come and kill us today. All right? Probably that's not going to happen. But persecution has different forms and different flavors. Okay? And when you begin to follow Jesus and you do it well, you will have friends and family who will push back. And what's the temptation of, I don't want to face this resistance. I don't want to face their shame. I don't want the mocking. I might lose contracts. I might lose a boyfriend for my stance about Jesus. Here's the temptation. Step back. Pull back. Tone it down. All right. And one of the greatest messages from the book of Hebrews is when you are facing pressure for following Jesus, don't turn back. Don't give up. Endure with patience. Go forward. And there are lots of reasons we're going to see of why we should not pull back. But the number one reason for the book of Hebrews is Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is so much better than the angels, than Moses, than the law, than the sacrificial system. He's so much better. Follow him and follow with your whole heart. And I would imagine all of us in this room, when we have followed Jesus, there's tough things that we face, all right? And again, the temptation, and sometimes even in churches, is, well, just don't be so bold. Don't be so in your face. And sometimes, sadly, even in churches, we try to be worldly in order to fit in with the world. That is not the message of the Bible, all right? Now, don't be silly. All right. You don't have to get a Jesus tattoo on your face. All right. I wouldn't recommend that. All right. So let's get into this. All right. So first of all, just a kind of a note on suffering, because you're going to see this in this book, is that when you are facing suffering as a Christian, the Bible tells us in a lot of different ways that you need some level of discernment when it comes to suffering, all right? Because not all of the pain that comes into our life is from the same source. And if it's not from the same source, then it doesn't have the same solution. Does that make sense? All right. So when Jesus was on the earth, and in other places in the Bible, we see that some suffering is as a direct result of an attack of the enemy, Satan, Lucifer. Job chapter 1, Satan went and afflicted Job. It's not a mystery, it's right there. Jesus, when he was healing people, there were, not all the time, but certain times, he attributed the sickness to demonic influence. Or this woman whom Satan has bound. Okay? So is it somehow from God? Well, no, it's not. It's directly from Satan. All right? So that is sometimes what suffering is about. Have you read the book of Proverbs? Proverbs has this theme of a wise man does this, and here's the outcome. It's usually pretty good. A foolish man does this, And here's the outcome. The older you get, the more sense Proverbs makes. Because when I read Proverbs in my 50s, there are many, many times where I read Proverbs. A fool does this, and I go, oh yeah, I know that guy. I met him 5 years ago. This actually happened. Okay, it's not a shock. You don't need it really any faith to believe it. You've seen it, all right? So Proverbs tells us that there is some suffering in our life that is because you are foolish. And the pain can stop tomorrow if you become wise. Amen. You overextended your money, right? You signed a contract and the bank's coming to take your title deed. Ah, I bind you, devil. No, there's no need to bind the devil. The devil didn't do it. The devil is not using the bank. You were foolish. You co-signed a loan. Proverbs multiple times says, foolish, foolish. Okay? Sometimes suffering happens because of the bad decisions of other people. All right? We see that. We see stories in the Bible of that. All right? Joseph went through all of these things. And I mean, there was Potiphar's wife. There were his jealous brothers. There was the forgetful fellow prisoner. And his suffering was very much linked to bad decisions of other people. All right? And so, well, I bind those people. No, there's a place where there's no bad people. It's called heaven. We don't have to go there tomorrow. Okay? So, let me give you an example here. 1 Peter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter 2, verse 20, talking about bondservants and being a faithful worker. 1 Peter 2, 20, it says, what credit is it when you sin and you're beaten for it? You endure. Okay? So is it, if you got in trouble for doing sinful things, no big deal. I mean, that's kind of how life works. But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you might follow in his steps. Okay, do you see that? So this suffering that happens if you violated the HR policy 100 million times, they're out to get me. Nope, they're not out to get you. All right, so let's turn to Hebrews 10 and let's see where the author of Hebrews is talking about their suffering. Okay, among other places, but this is a big chunk of it here. Hebrews 10:32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, so after you got saved, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. After you got saved. Because you got saved. Verse 33. Sometimes, and here were the examples that the author and the audience knew, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. And sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one, eternal life. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then he quotes from Habakkuk 2 in certain ways. Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Can you hear that? So these things are happening because you're following Jesus. What's our response? Go forward. Endure. It is an honorable thing. And you've got 2,000 years of church history of people who have suffered more likely, more than you will ever face, for following Jesus. Amen. And if it costs you a contract, so be it. If it costs you a girlfriend, so be it. Oh, Pastor, you understand everybody does it. Hebrews is saying not everybody does it. People who follow Jesus, follow him closely. Amen. All right. So, following Jesus regardless. All right. Now, that's not an easy ask, is it? And so, what we're going to see in Hebrews is the reason that they're going to propose, is the reason we do is because Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is to be followed. Why would I go back? There's so much good in him and because of him. I have no, like Peter said, where else would I go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Okay? So, for you, it might not be getting thrown into prison, but it may mean losing friends. It may mean somebody in your family doesn't like you forever. Well, I'll just love them and they'll turn around. No, there's no Bible verse that guarantees that. Amen? All right. So, let's get into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Starts off with one of the great, great introductions of any epistle. All right. Hebrews chapter 1. God, and then it describes God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, so that's present tense, isn't it? These last days spoken to us by his Son, whom, now this is explained, so first one explaining God, now explaining the Son, his Son Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Whew, that's a description of Jesus, isn't it? Having become so much better, Jesus, so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right? So, let's go back and look at this. All right, so verse 1 and 2. So God spoke, and it's talking about how he spoke in the past. Remember, the author of Hebrews is assuming that these folks know a lot about the Old Testament. All right. So when he's speaking of this, he's speaking of it as it is common knowledge. So God spoke in the past. So a different time period. And he spoke to a different audience. Our fathers. Our fathers, meaning Abraham, Moses, the people of the Old Testament. So God spoke in the Old Testament, our fathers, fathers in the faith, all right? So here's the other thing, meaning he spoke at a different time to different people compared to us today, right? And he had a means by which he spoke to those people. Through the prophets. The prophets. Okay? A lot we could say about the prophets. Okay? But in the Old Testament, there were three categories of people that were anointed by God. All right? You and I, if we were just kind of regular general followers of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit did not rest upon us, okay? But the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophet, the priest, and the king And there's multiple places in the Old Testament where the Spirit of the Lord came upon these people. And king being the executive, that would be sometimes the judges before there were kings, all right? And so that's why when Joel said in these days that we're living in, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. If you heard that, and when Job said that, or you read it in the scroll, you went, woo, I'd like to live in that day. All right? And that's what Pentecost was. Pentecost was a day, and now we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. The age of Pentecost. That the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Big flesh, little flesh. Female flesh, male flesh. Is what Joel was saying, right? All right. So that was kind of a quick way of summarizing the content of the Old Testament. God was speaking in times past to our fathers through the prophets. Okay? Now it's good to know where you came from. But how many know you need to know where you are now in the age and in the timeline of the Bible? Okay? And So let's go to that next verse there, all right? So God has in these days now, all right? And he mentions this phrase called the last days. So Joel 2 talked about in the days that are coming, and when the apostle Peter quoted Joel on the day of Pentecost, he said, you know, because they thought these people are drunk, they're acting crazy. He said, no. He said it was prophesied that in the last days. All right. So Peter interpreted Joel 2 to be meaning now. Right now. It starts now. And we're still in those last days. All right. I know it's sometimes interesting, 2,000 years of last days. But, I mean, God has a different timetable than any of us here. Okay. And I believe there's some reasons that God is still waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. We still have not yet fulfilled the Great Commission as a church. There are people in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, when that happens, the end will come. All right, so there's things that are our responsibility. So in the last days, these days, God has spoken to us. And it is amazing that what we can learn from the Old Testament of when God was speaking to Moses and God was speaking to Joshua, and that is Word of God, and it's incredibly relevant. But the author of Hebrews saying there's something a little different now, is that God used his son Jesus, not the prophets, Jesus, to speak to us. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. You know, when God spoke to Moses on the mountain, remember he was, and there were different times where God would download parts of the covenant. And there was a time where Moses comes down off of Sinai, kind of the meeting place, and he is glowing just from having been with God. And the people weren't like, oh, this is so great. Come and glow over us. The people were like, we can't take it. And so they put a veil over him, right? When God came into the tabernacle in the Old Testament for the very first time, the people were scared outside. Okay? Now, Hebrews 1 is a lot like John 1. John said this, we've seen his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. Paul talked about that we no longer have to have the veil, but we can see him. We can know him. The Holy Spirit reveals him. You can know Jesus, and we can know. And so what does he do? God says, I'm not going to use the prophets. I'm using my son to speak to you, a new messenger. And so that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus, we're going to see this in Hebrews, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the go-between, all right? And elsewhere it says there's no other man other than the man, Christ Jesus, who mediates. Amen. Do you know when God wants to speak to you, he doesn't have to speak to me first? I'm so thankful because, I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time just hearing his message to me. It's kind of a full-time job. Let alone tell you what car to drive and how much money you should give in the offering. Pastor, are you referring to that video? Yeah, I'm referring to that video. If you saw it this week. All right. So now, Hebrews chapter 1. So God is speaking to us through his son, Jesus, our mediator, our faithful high priest. And now he begins to describe Jesus. Okay. So here in verse 2. Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. Of all things. All right. So Matthew 28, after Jesus died, after he was raised from the dead, before he ascended to the Father, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, under the earth. How much is all authority? All authority. That's why he is King of kings, Lord of lords. All right. And so while when we read the entire book of the higher Bible, he will come physically and reign on this earth. Oh, come quickly, Jesus. Oh, that would be wonderful. Tomorrow, please. Okay. But not yet. He hasn't done that yet. So where he reigns is over his people. All right. So so we understand he is the rightful King of kings. All right. Then the author of Hebrews says, through Jesus, God made the world. He made the world. Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning, God. Jesus is God. So you and I would say, well, he was there in the beginning. All right. So this kind of will help us to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, or the pre-incarnate Word. So the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, before he came into a human body, he was. He is and he was. All right. So in the beginning, what's John saying in the beginning? All right. Not the, in the beginning, inging. All right. In the beginning was the Word. Sorry, I just can't help myself sometimes. Okay. In the beginning was the Word. That's the second person of the Trinity. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same substance. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus. All right? So from the beginning. Now, I've said this before, and, you know, not all of the cults that exist today, they're going to be new cults, and I'm sure in years to come. But the quickest and easiest way to spot a cult, a false cult that will send people to hell, is right here. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. Well, you know, when he was born as a baby, that's when he started. Cult. People who believe that are going to hell. Unless they believe something else. Something new. Okay? Oh, but they have nice magazines. It's a cult. It always makes people mad. Happy for you to be mad. You can come and be mad at me after church, all right? But I've got to warn you. Leave the Jehovah's Witness church. Leave it. Get rid of your magazines at home. I love you. All right. Because like the Mormons and like other cults, they deny the deity of Jesus. And if Jesus is not God, there is no salvation. And you're dead in your sins. Okay, there we go. So all things were made by him in the beginning. All right, go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Because not only were all things made by him, Colossians says something else that's amazing. Colossians 1:15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Okay, we see that in Genesis. We see that in Hebrews. We see that in John. Now we're seeing it in Colossians. All things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things. That's just Paul explaining all things. All things were created through him and for him. For him. This is Father's Day. Fathers, you know your kids weren't created for you. They were created for Jesus. You have a role. It's an important role, right? Your spouse, your wife wasn't created for you. She was created for Jesus. Let me say that to this section. Husbands, your wife wasn't created for you. She was created. How many things? All things were created by him and for him. For him. That changes how we treat people, doesn't it? It changes how we treat the earth. It changes how we treat everything. If everything was created for him, then I need to be careful with my stewardship. Amen. And also, me, your life, was not created for you. I know people say this all the time, you know, well, Pastor, I'm taking some me time. I understand we need to take breaks at times and relax. But me time is Jesus time. You were created for him. Amen. So through him and for him. Now, then the author of Hebrews explains Jesus in verse 3. Oh, this is such a glorious, glorious text right here. So who? Jesus. He is the brightness of God's glory. The brightness of God's glory. New Living Translation says that Jesus radiates God's glory. All right. And so the example here is that of the sun. The sun radiates, doesn't it? Okay. So as the sun is this mass of energy, what blesses planet Earth are the rays. What goes out from the sun. And they're the same. All right. And so Jesus radiates the very essence of God the Father to us. All right. So without, and you might have remembered this in science class, but you know, without the sun, our whole world ceases to exist. Pastor Sammy made mention of it as far as energy. All energy has its source in the sun. Okay? So Jesus is reflecting. Jesus is showing. Jesus is the very glory of the Father shown to us. Isn't that amazing? Next phrase. Here it says that Jesus is the express image of his person. The express image. Now, the idea in this day and age, if you would have heard that, what you would have heard was the image that a signet ring would have on melted wax. So an official didn't have stamps, okay? but they would have their ring of authority, and only they had it. And so as a document was prepared, they would drip wax, and then they would put their imprint, meaning it's official, because no one else could do this except the person who had the authority to do it. All right? And so it was sometimes on the document, or it was sealed. All right. So if you think about it now, like a stamp that we get at Borders or at the bank, or when you have an official document, it gets stamped and there's some level of authority that is displayed, right? But typically, Pastor Haley and I, our passports are finished before the expiry date because of all the stamps, all right? It's gotten a little better, but I remember 25 years ago, and I just think that there were some people that, I mean, that was their bachelor's degree, was stamping. I mean, they would boom, bam, bing, boom, boom, boom. I mean, they were just stampers, right? And how many of you know, sometimes you had an official document and you'd present it and you're like, you got four stamps. Sorry, you need one more stamp. Okay. But it would be kind of silly if I was right there and they stamped it. And here I have the image of the stamp, don't I? And I watched them do it. If I would say, excuse me, sir, I want to see your stamp there. I want to make sure they're the same. No, that's crazy, isn't it? Of course they're the same. Okay. So Jesus is the express image of God. No man has seen God at any time. We've seen Jesus. We beheld his glory. God is no longer unseen. He is seen. He is on the record through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who lived among us and walked among us. And we have an account of who he is and what he did. And it is accurate, and it is good, and it is holy. And we can understand God through the person of his Son. I'm always amazed that people, and very many times well-meaning, sometimes very sincere Christians, who have well-developed, what they would consider a well-developed Christian doctrine that opposes the person of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. And really, it's a challenge to you to rethink what you believe through the image of his Son, through Jesus Christ. Now, people in the Gospels, people who came to Jesus for physical healing, did he ever turn anyone away? Ever? Never. Never once. Okay? That's what he did. So there are Christians sometimes today who seek God for healing. They, you know, get medicine. They do their best. And then their conclusion is, because nothing happened, oh, I guess God is withholding this from me to teach me. That is a well-established Christian doctrine, what I just said, that opposes the person, an example, and life of Jesus Christ. Some people say, oh, you know, I'm under grace. I can live any way I want to. You know, Jesus said to the woman adultery, I don't condemn you. So I'm just living my sinful life. Did you read the whole statement? Neither do I condemn you, which means I'm not going to use a rock to smash your skull today. That's what he was saying. Okay. That's what was going to happen. Go and live as you just love who you love. No. Go and sin. Well, who defines sin? Jesus does. The Bible does. Live a separate life. You don't have to live in adultery anymore. So we could go through a whole long list of this, but every doctrine you have has to pass through the person of Jesus Christ. or it is likely false or tweaked or something's wrong. Amen? Get to know God and the person of who he is through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's Jesus. Sometimes people will say this, and they'll say, I know I was talking to somebody, it's a minister, and I won't mention the subject or whatever, but it was getting away from the Bible, and he said, well, he said, you know, the Jesus I know would never do that. What do you mean the Jesus you know? Are there 500 million Jesus versions, and you get to pick the one? No, it's not the Jesus you know, it's the Jesus of Scripture. There's no other Jesus, all right? Well, Jesus married Magdalene, moved to Turkey or Ethiopia, started a family. No, he didn't. He ascended to the Father and he sits on the right hand. That's the Jesus that we know through how? Through Scripture. Through Scripture. Amen. Well, Jesus appeared to me in a vision. Maybe. Maybe he did. I don't know. But what if it's different than the gospel Paul said, let that vision be accursed. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. The express image of his person. So you can understand God because he's consistent. He's consistent. All right? And Jesus revealed him. So much so. All right. Now, as we close here, verse 4. This is kind of a preview of coming attractions here, where it says that Jesus, having become so much better than the angels. All right. So remember that word, better. Because from here, from this introduction, all the way through, pretty much through chapter 10, it's going to be better, 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 better. Okay. And I've got, I don't know why I have this, maybe just, I have kept my favorite Nokia phone from 26 years ago. It was the long, skinny, I think 6210 or something like that. It's in pristine condition at my office. All right. Ooh, I love that phone. 7 days, you know. So anyway, but you can't take pictures, can you? Can't take pictures, can't watch golf highlights, you can't watch funny reels of little kids doing funny things with their kid, you know, with their brothers. This is better. It's better. It's way better. So better screen, better texting, better storage, right? And so this is what the rest of the book of Hebrews is going to be. Just kind of, it's going to take you through the old flip phone and the new, is it S24? Huh? Whatever it is to now. All right, if you use an iPhone, I pray for you. All right. So it's confusing to me. All right. Everything is better because Jesus is better. Everything is better. So follow him. Don't worry about persecution. God will help you. God will sustain you. God will be with you. And then you're going to see some examples of people who turn back. Not good. And the consequences for us are not good. If we go back, shrink back, fall back. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus. And Father, that for so many of us in this place, you have revealed him to us through your Holy Spirit. And Father, may we see him more clearly. May we love him more deeply. May we obey him more fully for this time that we have left on your beautiful, beautiful earth. It was created for Jesus, for his pleasure. We are created. So, Father, help us as we study Scripture, as we discuss these things, Father, as we pray about, Lord, who to introduce, Lord, to this gospel festival that's coming up so that they can know Jesus and meet Jesus and see Him and follow Him, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, Jesus is good. And Jesus died for you. And He died because when we look at the whole story of the Old Testament, it's very consistent with what we're seeing today, is that mankind, people, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And at the root of that trouble is that we're separated from God. Government can't fix that. Your parents can't fix that. You can't fix that. You can't make it right. The Bible says that God put inside of every person, He put eternity inside of our heart. That we know that there's something bigger than just this life of going to work and sleeping, and something's bigger. There's eternity. Well, how do you get back to God? Well, a lot of people have decided, well, be good, be pretty good, mostly good. Bible says that's not the way. That is not enough for God. He alone is good. And friend, we need fixed. We need help. We're dead and we need to come alive. Only Jesus can do that. So He came and He lived a sinless life and He died on a cross. He was raised from the dead for you. For you. So what do I need to do? Believe. Believe Him. Believe what He did. Believe what He can do in your life right now, today. Believe what He can do for the rest of your life. Put the whole of your trust Him instead of all these other things that aren't working in your life. Trust Him today. Follow Him. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I'm not born again. I'm not a follower of Him, but I want to be. I want to pray with you. If you're a backslidden Christian, if you've kind of turned your back from your Father's house and you've gone out into the ways of the world, and your life is messed up and broken, trust in Jesus. Help you. He'll wash you. He'll bring you into His family because He said He would. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to pray. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I'd like to pray with you. And nobody's looking around, but what I'd like you to do as responding to Jesus right now, just say, you know, Pastor, that's me. Lift up your hand real high. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me. I know God's dealing with my heart. I want to follow Him. Thank you. God bless you. Who else will join this one and say, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. All of my life, the rest of my life. Anyone else before we pray? Yes, thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet as we get ready to go. You lifted up your hand. You say, Pastor, I want to follow Jesus. I want to put my faith in Him. Here's what I'd ask you to do is grab your Bible, handbag, maybe something you brought to church with you, and I'd like you to come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. And it's a way of saying I'm leaving my old life and I'm following Jesus publicly. All right, can we give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming? Thank you, Jesus.